Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you, of course, to the four fabulous players who will be embarking on the game today. Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Alan Davis and Holly Walsh. Please whoop and cheer for all of them. I'll be asking them to speak on a given subject for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. So we shall see how they get along. And we're going to start with you first, Paul. Now, your subject is dodging the fair. Can you speak on dodging the fair without hesitation, repetition or deviation? And you've got 60 seconds starting now.
Dodging the fare is not a particularly good idea. I think you should pay the fare to whichever transport company is taking you to the place you've arrived at. When I was growing up as a young boy, my father worked on the Northern Line on the London Underground, and we had a privilege ticket. It was the only privileges that we enjoyed at those particular times, but it meant that we had three...
You're possessed then, though. Definitely possessed.
Yeah, something was wonderful.
I was going too fast for my own good.
Zoe, you challenged.
Yeah, there seemed to be some sort of leaves on the line there or something. It came off track slightly.
I should have had a replacement bus service. <at the point. laughs>
41 seconds, correct challenge. You get the subject now, Zoe, which is dodging the fare, and your time starts now.
Dodging the fare is something you shouldn't do, but I have to admit, I have done it myself in the past. On a train journey from Glasgow to London as a student, I hadn't much money, so I hid in the toilet for 5 hours. It's quite a long time to spend in a small cubicle space, I will tell you, and I had to lie as the conductor came down the corridor saying, "Are you still in there?" "Yes, I am. It's quite a tricky manoeuvre I'm trying to pull off into this water closet," I would reply. Dodging the fare turned out to be quite a tricky...
Paul buzzed in there.
Yes, it's catching, isn't it? hesitation.
Yes, a wee bit of hesitation. A marvellous run.
When they knock on the door and they say, "Are you still in there?" you have to reply in a different voice each time.
That's wrong.
Yeah. Rory Bremner's never paid for a train fare in his life.
6 seconds remaining on dodging the fare. It's back with you, Paul, starting now.
As I slowly approached the station, I realised the money in my pocket wouldn't get me as far as Kentish Town. So I...
Paul was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets the point. And Zoe, have I got a subject for you? Well, I have. That's okay. Part of my job. What I learned on my Saturday job.
What I learned on my Saturday job.
You've got 60 seconds on the subject, starting now.
My first Saturday job was in Glasgow in the 1980s, where I packed fudge into boxes in a factory. Not a joke, actually did that job. It was great fun because I was with a lot of girls who had tremendous senses of humour. We would spend hours shuffling along little containers.
Hesitation.
A little hesitation. There was a little hesitation.
But who knows? We may well come back to you. We may well hear more about the factory and the packing of fudge.
Yes, indeed. So.
Only in the podcast.
42 seconds after that correct challenge, Paul. What I learned on my Saturday job, starting now.
I worked in a leading supermarket in the frozen food department upstairs where they kept all the meat in a deep freezer, and I had to pack this substance into various plastic trays throughout the day. I remember talking to my supervisor, a man called Jeff, who was a butcher, and he remember said to me one day, he said, "Do you know what my ambition is?" And I said, "I didn't know what it was. Would he tell me?" And he said, "Yes." I was expecting him to say something like, "I've always wanted to be a concert pianist or explore Africa," but no, what he really said to me was, "I've always wanted to work for another rival supermarket that he mentioned." And that's two supermarkets.
Alan, I wonder what your challenge could be.
The repetition of supermarket.
It was. Correct challenge.
Essentially, I was working in Sainsbury's, and this man said to me one day, "Do you know what my ambition is?" I said, "No." He could even say something really good. He said, "I've always wanted to work for Safeways."
is a correct challenge, Alan. Repetition it indeed was, which means you get to tell us all about what I learned on my Saturday job in 10 seconds, starting now.
What I learned on my Saturday job was how to spin the bags in the greengrocers. And I love filling them up with apricots. And we had one celebrity customer who was Len Murray.
Speaking as the whistle went, Alan gained the point. And you get the next subject, which is, I hope you've moved on from these, bicycle stabilisers. Okay. Bicycle stabilisers. What can you tell us on that subject? You've got a minute and your time starts now.
Bicycle stabilisers are two little wheels that you attach to the rear end and your child gets on and then they don't fall over sideways. That's the plan. They're also known as training wheels and you're supposed to gradually raise them up in height, till eventually they're leaning over at a terrific angle before they make contact with the ground. And you can quite frighten the child if you remove one side.
Zoe?
Were there two childs?
There were a couple of children.
Was it a tandem?
Yes, there were two childs. But Alan is pretty new to the game, which is extraordinary to think of. Yeah. You know, a man of his considerable skills, only recently joining us. So I think it's appropriate we give him the benefit of the doubt. And with 36 seconds remain, his time starts now.
Why not use your feet?
Holly.
Well, I mean, he just gave up the will to live. It was a sort of pause which went very existential near the end. There was a real sense of, like, life draining from him, so...
Oh. Yeah, there was a...
Well, what it was, I was waiting for the laugh. And the problem this audience is, they're too slow. If you are going to laugh... You do have to come straight in, or I'll get done for hesitating, do you see?
I'm beginning to understand why this is the first time you've done this program.
A correct challenge from Holly means you get the subject of bicycle stabilisers. You have 32 seconds in which to illuminate all, starting now.
Apparently, bicycle stabilisers are a terrible idea, and one should let one's child get on board the bike and just go for it. Down a hill, preferably, towards a main road or motorway if you have that in your back garden. I personally didn't give my children bicycle stabilisers because I wanted to see them bleed and cry and suffer, and this was one of the few ways you can do it and get away with it as a parent. Bicycle stabilisers were invented by very soft people who weren't that bothered.
Beautifully done. Holly was speaking as the whistle went, means that she gets the point, and you also get our next subject. Class clown. What can you tell us about that? You've got 60 seconds to tell us about class clown, starting now.
Everyone is absolutely fine with a class clown, but once you become an office clown, apparently you can get the sack. Class clowning was something I did regularly as a child, and I
Alan.
That's just made a mess of it.
It sounded like I was going into a sort of, like, Ibiza remix.
So, correct challenge means you get the subject. 46 seconds are available to you.
Sorry, I hadn't allowed for that. I didn't realise.
Yeah. With every challenge comes a heavy consequence. Class clown, your time starts now.
Do they wear the makeup? Are they prepared for the audience? Or have they got inner clowning? So they don't actually show it on their face. It's just all inside their brain. Always looking for the trick. Do they come in a funny car with the doors falling off? Really appreciate that.
I'm going to really enjoy this challenge. Paul, what is your challenge?
Well, it was a hesitation.
Yes.
After a series of rhetorical questions, which were fascinating.
It's a correct challenge. And so you get the subject. 29 seconds are available to you, Paul, and your time on Class Clown starts now.
Mr. Gray, my English teacher at the school I was attending when I was around 14 years old, wrote a report which said I wouldn't get anywhere because I was the class clown and this would lead to me actually having no kind of job that would be something that I could look forward to earning money in later on in life. And here I am, appearing on Radio 4 for tuppence, and he was absolutely right. I believe that class clowns, many of us as comedians would have started off as class clowns. We find an audience.
Wonderful stuff. Paul speaking as the whistle went means he gets the point, of course, and that's the end of our first round. Scores In joint third place, we've got Zoe and Holly. Narrowly ahead in second place, we've got Alan. And narrowly ahead again, we've got Paul in pole position. But
in pole position.
Pole position, yeah.
Pole position.
He holds it so often, I've given up calling it pole position. It's just now pole position. Paul, you have the next subject, which is, classy. French New Wave. So Radio 4. Nice. We've hit peak Radio 4.
I like that reaction from the audience. It says, well, he's going to know nothing about Monsieur Thicko.
Nonsense. French New Wave, please, Paul. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
Well, it's generally considered that the French New Wave, which began around 1960, was instigated by the director Jean-Luc Godard, who died recently at the age of 96. His movie, Breathless, which was rather revolutionary in its use of jump cuts, in the middle of a scene, the action would suddenly move from one position to another. And the reason why is because when they had finished the original project, it was 2 hours long, and he needed to lose 45 minutes. So what he did instead of cutting out...
I'm so bored. Sorry, I know it's... Oh, God, I just got to help everyone out here.
Well, it's an interesting challenge. It's not in any way part of the rule set that's been established over the last 90 series. There are some French New Wave enthusiasts who'll be riveted by what Paul's been saying. So much as the audience were shocked into enjoying your challenge, I feel it's appropriate we let Paul continue.
No, I wouldn't. I'd hate to be wasting anybody's time.
Well, it's OK. If you're saying you don't want the subject.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then Holly, let's hear what you have to say. It's all fun and games until you realise something happens after the buzzer. French New Wave. Prepare to be thrilled. You've got 30 seconds starting now.
French New Wave, or Francais Nouveau Vague, as it is also known. I don't know why I'm talking in a strange accent, but I'm channeling my inner intellectual, as I myself find it an incredibly boring school of film, and I would love to just be talking about films like...
Repetition of talking.
It was a repetition of talking.
Enough.
Yes.
You know what? Fair enough.
We've all learnt lots. Still 10 seconds remaining. This really is a subject that won't die. Paul, you get the subject back. 10 seconds, please. Sir, starting now.
There was a hairdresser near me about 5 years ago, and I went into them and said, I demand a French New Wave, otherwise known as a bouffant. They looked at me and they said, certainly, sir. So I sat down in the chair and I was...
Paul, you get the point for speaking as the whistle went. And Zoe, we are with you next. Okay, the perfect disguise is your subject. What can you tell us without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the perfect disguise? Your time starts now.
I have, in fact, this evening come in the perfect disguise. I have come disguised as myself. You will not know it is me, but I am underneath this perfect disguise. Another perfect disguise would be a sort of prosthetic, maybe a nose or ears, 2 feet that don't belong to you, possibly a second head. I mean, that might be going a little bit too far for the perfect disguise. The perfect disguise in a natural setting would involve something camouflaged, perhaps with a floral or indeed fauna print to it, so that you could perfectly disguise yourself within the ferns of a forest, lurking there beneath some trees, so that the deers, foxes, badgers, otters and turtles can't see you. The perfect disguise is one where you do a...
Oh, shame. Round of applause from the audience, basically, who are keeping internal time, 51 seconds on a perfect disguise. Beautifully done.
And but thanks, Paul, for not picking me up on the turtles either.
Your challenge.
Well, unfortunately, it was a hesitation.
It was, we can't deny that, but it was thrilling to be part of that ride. 9 seconds remain to you, Paul, on the perfect disguise, starting now.
In many of the Sherlock Holmes stories written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the eponymous hero turns up in various disguises. I well remember a version of one particular story that was called The Scarlet...
Zoe challenged just before the whistle went.
Were there two stories?
I didn't hear two.
Stories.
No,
I didn't hear two.
Oh.
I didn't hear two. I
mean, sorry.
Brilliant. It is an incorrect challenge. Paul gets a subject with 0.0003 points.
Good luck.
A vowel sound should do it at this point, Paul. Your time starts now.
Jean-Luc Godard.
Back with you, Holly. And a steady pair of hands. That's your subject, a steady pair of hands. 60 seconds, please, on that subject, starting now.
When I was a child, we used to have a game called Operation, and you had to have a steady pair of hands in order to remove the internal organs of a gentleman who had not consented to any of this sort of goings-on. We went ahead and did it, taking out hearts, livers, kidneys.
Paul, you challenged.
Oh, it was hesitation.
Yeah, it was a bit of errors.
To be fair, that is true.
correct challenge, Paul. Classic hesitation. So you get the subject. 39 seconds, please. And your time on a steady pair of hands starts now.
There's a 1936 film starring Peter Lorre called The Hands of Orlack. And the general plot of it is that a concert pianist loses his hands and then he is grafted on a pair of hands from a man who was a serial killer. So consequently, the man who plays the piano...
Zoe.
Two man.
There are
Two man.
Correct challenge, you get the topic, which is a steady pair of hands. 24 seconds remaining. Have at it, starting now.
I do not possess a steady pair of hands. They tend to wobble and shake all over the place. That is why I'm not allowed to carry big trays of crystal glass through China shops, or indeed do anything that requires dexterity of the digits. A steady pair of hands is a desirable thing on a clock. Otherwise, the time just goes all over the place and you have no idea what part of the day...
Wonderful. Zoe speaking as the whistle went means she gets the point. And that's the end of that round. Let's have a look at the scores, see where things stand. It is tight as you like. Holly just slightly trailing behind Alan, who is slightly trailing behind Zoe, who is just slightly trailing behind Paul, who is currently in the lead. And Paul, we return to you with this next subject, scrumping. Scrumping is your subject. Wonderful. You've got 60 seconds on it and your time starts now.
Scrumping, I suppose, refers to stealing apples. I don't know whether other fruit come into it, but certainly an apple is something you can find. Stealing bombs...
Zoe.
Two lots of stealings.
Yes,
yes,
there
absolutely.
Were two lots of stealings. Repetition
very
indeed.
Bad. Very bad.
Oh, I don't know if I want this.
Too late, love.
I want to put it back.
51 seconds you've got on scrumping, yeah. Here it comes. Time starts now.
I would imagine to be good at scrumping, you need to be able to scale walls, which is something that I can't do. I'm not very, very good. I mean, that was pathetic. I'm sorry, I'll take myself away from this table and just hide in shame. That
Never.
Was awful.
Never. Paul, you challenged.
Yes, very, very.
Yes, there was indeed a repetition of it for very, which means you get the subject with 43 seconds remaining. It's back with you, scrumping, starting now.
I stole from a nearby orchard and put the produce into my apron. I ran as fast as I could down the high street. I could hear a police car behind me, the siren blazing away as I tried to make my escape. I came to a garden. It had a flint wall. I climbed over it and then found myself facing my arch enemy. It was none other than Satan himself. He knew that I had these pieces of coxes in my hands in my pocket, and he said to me in a voice I can barely encourage and said, "You are somebody who has deliberately taken these vitamin C."
I'm going to go deviation with the devil there.
Oh, well, you wait till you meet him. I find that's... He doesn't like people who nick apples.
Well, I think Satan has a strong relationship with apples and people holding them.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe
Garden
Paul
of Eden.
Yeah. Trying a sort of...
Yeah, subliminal connection I hadn't thought of.
I fancy hearing from Zoe on this. 8 seconds remaining. Your time on scrumping starts now.
I would choose the red apples as they are the sweetest and the best to eat. Oh, I would make cider apples.
Holly.
You sort of went, in the
No, that was a West Country. Because I was going to talk about cider there. And I just naturally went into a slight burr. That's what happened.
I think I'll just call it a hesitation. Yeah. I think much as I enjoyed the burr, Scrumping, please. You've got 3 seconds, Holly. Your time starts now.
Scrumping is something that I should be good at, as I am...
Right, we're with you, Zoe, next. Okay. Now, acid jazz.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, are you a fan? You're obviously not a fan, but it doesn't matter, because whether you're a fan or not, you've got 60 seconds to talk about it.
Okay, everybody brace themselves.
Your time starts now.
Jamiroquai, and that is why I do not like acid jazz.
Alan, you challenged.
I don't know why. I don't even know what it is.
That's great, because you've got such a long time. We're all going to find it. You're going to take us on an acid jazz odyssey right now, OK?
With the shortest odyssey in the history of travel.
54 seconds. 54 seconds.
I really haven't mastered this yet, have I?
It was a correct challenge for hesitation. In fact, just grinding to a halt. So you get the subject. 54 seconds starting now.
Acid jazz is a music type of thing. People play the music on acid.
I really love the way your voice went super husky there, like some kind of music. It's a music type thing. Paul, you buzzed.
A repetition of music.
Yes, it was a repetition of music, which means you get the subject. Still 49 seconds on the clock. Acid jazz. Tell us everything you know and more, starting now.
One of the great pioneers of acid jazz was George Leroy, born in Philadelphia in 1964. He certainly made a huge impact with his first record.
Oh, did he say first twice?
No. I've said it once so far. I might say it again in a minute.
Apologies.
Incorrect challenge. Paul keeps the subject. 40 seconds on acid jazz.
40 seconds.
Yep. Luxuriate, my friend. Your time starts now.
He signed with a record company. Oh, I've said record before.
Yes. So I wonder what your challenge might be.
I think Paul said record before.
I said record before.
He said record.
For the record, he said record before.
Release his first record, record company.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Yeah. In fact, I was one of the first people to spot it.
Yeah.
I should have challenged myself, shouldn't I?
You're always happy to buzz in on yourself. 35 seconds?
Oh, this subject's broken time. Yeah.
We heard about Jamiroquai. Let's see if there's anything else you can give a shout out to in the remaining 35 seconds, starting now.
I am not a massive fan of acid jazz. My only experience of it was in the 1990s in Hoxton, East London. There was a very famous club called the Blue Note where they played acid jazz. My friend took me one evening. I stood in the corner smoking cigarettes, because you could at that time, indoors, I know, but it was all about the music.
Holly.
I think all those years of smoking have given you trouble with breathing, because you just took a huge... You were really fighting for air by that point. It was a hesitation.
The slightest of hesitations. I shall give you that, but I did enjoy that very much. It was all about the music. Says the woman who just said she hates the genre, which I really enjoyed. 10 seconds you've got, Holly, on acid jazz. Yep, we're still on that subject. Time starts now.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your candle to bed. Some other lyrics that I really can't remember, because as Zoe said... yeah.
Paul.
Well, it was a hesitation.
Can I just say I thought it was send your camel to bed, not candle.
I always thought it was a sort of lyrical way of saying blow out your candle.
I mean...
Send your candle to bed.
Send your candle to bed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but for my own good, I'm now going to look up some brand new Heavies lyrics.
We could ask the audience.
And then we'll come back to it.
Okay, a small cheer. Who thinks it's camel to bed?
Yes.
Okay, who thinks it's candle to bed?
Yes.
Oh. Does anyone want breaking
from
news?
From the brand new Heavies.
Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Some other lyrics. Come on, the cactus is our friend. Less said about that, the better on radio. But yes, I've completely forgotten who buzzed. Who
I
there?
I buzzed for hesitation.
Yes. Yeah, and you were absolutely right. Sorry, Paul, I had to just for my own peace of mind find out what that lyric was. And you were right. We're still with Acid Jazz. 2 seconds remaining. For the love of God, please bring this home, Paul. Your time starts now.
As an indication of how much we know about acid jazz, I'd like to...
We now move into the final round. I know, but Alan is going to bring it home. We've got a classic here, The Shining. The Shining. Oh, ooh, indeed. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating, Alan, on that subject? Your time starts now.
The Shining was a horror film based on a novel by Stephen King. But the most interesting thing about it to me, that one of the supporting actors also supplied the voice for Hong Kong Phooey. Could be... Not many people know that. Jack Nicholson was in it. He did a kind of manic face, and it was filmed at Elstree Studios. So he would go out into Boreham Wood in his lunch hour and shine the windows and other surfaces, because the whole film was really about polishing.
Oh. Have you seen the film, Alan?
Not for ages.
Holly, you challenged.
It was a sort of pause/bask. He was so pleased with that he just took his time.
Well, he's used to receiving adulation. He's used to taking moments where the audience can erupt spontaneously.
He was waiting for the ovation, ovation.
It will come. There was a teensy-weensiest bit of hesitation there. I'll give you that, Holly. 27 seconds on The Shining, please, starting now.
The Shining is one of those movies that I lied about watching for 40 years of my life, and then when I eventually did get round to viewing it, I realised it was an excellent film. I wish I'd watched The Shining when I was younger, say 4 or 5, because it would have set me up in life and made me hate all Travelodges and any other hotel you can imagine. I myself would love to stay in The Shining because the maze scene is incredible.
Let's have a look, as we must do at the end of the show, at the scores. Mildly trailing, we have Alan. Just ahead of him, in joint second place, we have Zoe and Holly. Today's winner, please give it up for Mr. Paul Merton. So with that comes the end of the show. A huge thank you to all four marvellous players of the game, to Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Holly Walsh and Alan Davis. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and of course to the wonderful Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 glorious years and who's much missed. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who's blown her whistle with great aplomb. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. This is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you for listening wherever you are, and do join us next time we all play Just a Minute. Thank you.